Studio with me right now, I've got Justin Salinas from Hot Pants on mic number 2, and on mic number 4 and 5, Corey Wong and Eric Foss, the co-proprietors of Secret Stash Records, headquartered right here in the Twin Cities, but doing all kinds of interesting projects. Good morning, guys. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us in.
Yep.
Yeah. You've kind of been making the scene. I visited your website the other day, and it's like, oh, they were on Doug Kane's show not too long ago. So you're actually not strangers to KFAI.
Yeah, and that was with, with Brad Rolstad when he was
sitting in.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Brad's a good friend. So.
And he's designed some of your records, you said.
All of them except for one. And he does a great job. He's the man.
Yeah. So I guess the best place to start is to just describe how you two met and how Secret Stash got started, what that journey was like.
Well, Corey and I have been friends since junior high school. We met when we were probably like 5 or 6 years old. We were friends a long time.
So elementary school.
Probably weren't close friends until...
Yeah, we went to different elementary schools, but... We were on a basketball team together in third grade that didn't win a single game. We parted ways until middle school, and then we became friends.
Yeah.
Let the wounds heal.
Yeah, seriously. I'm still a little salty. From time to time. But, no, and we actually grew up playing a lot of music together.
Yeah.
In college, we actually lived together for a while with a couple other guys and played in a jam band together, which was a pretty good time. Corey went on to continue to study guitar and eventually got into production and engineering and things like that. And I went on to go to school for music business. And we both went to McNally Smith College of Music.
Oh, sure.
At separate times, though. Mm-hmm. I had gone there and graduated in 05, I suppose. And then Corey started pretty much right after I left.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, we like McNally Smith. Chris Osgood of the Suicide Commandos is kind of one of my heroes.
Right on. Yeah. That's awesome. but actually, Secret Stash actually kind of started out of another company that Corey and I founded a few years ago called Innovative Multimedia.
Mm.
And Innovative was basically utilizing the skills I had acquired through working for other labels and through my schooling, combined with Corey's production and recording skills and playing skills, and we were just making budget CD projects and stuff, custom packages for people like Borders and stuff like that. Some of it was a lot of fun. I mean, we've recorded everything, polka, reggae,
handbell choirs.
Yeah, handbell choirs, John Philip Sousa marches, like mm-hmm. you name it, and Corey's kind of had to figure out a way to record it and arrange it and stuff. So that was kind of what we thought we would be doing.
So just kind of a record label for hire kind of thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it got, like, exhausting. And that world, you know, I don't know how much you hear about how terrible of condition the music industry is in, but it's, like, it's in dire straits, and everyone that's in the business is selling to Walmart and Borders and Target and Best Buy. They're, like, depressed and negative, and I just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I had been consulting other labels around the country. I couldn't take it. It was like, it got to the point where at the end of the day, I would just be so drained just from all the negativity.
Mm.
And I'm just like, all we're doing is just banging our heads against the wall here. No one feels like they can really get ahead. Corey,
so when
and I
you
have,
when you say negativity, is it due to just the, you know, overabundance of rules and requirements that these big distributors would place on you, or was it the music itself, or what was causing the drain?
That's a great question. It was really in regards to the fact that you can't sell CDs anymore, that the business is just tanking, that every year CD sales have been plummeting like 20% for the last few years, and the retailers are shrinking their shelf space. You know, Walmart doesn't carry the amount of CDs that they used to. Best Buy, I remember I hadn't been into the Best Buy by where I grew up for a few years. And I went in there to pick up a CD for my mom for Mother's Day, and the CDs were gone. It was cell phones. And I was like, what happened? What happened to the store? Where's all the CDs? The guy's like, oh, they're back there. Mm. And I'm like, well, that's like 10% of what you used to carry. Mm. But it's just become so competitive because they're shrinking the shelf space, but there's still thousands of labels and thousands of releases that are fighting for that shelf space.
Yeah.
And it just got exhausting, and you would do, you think you're doing everything right, and you'd put out CDs and market it, you know, the way you used to, and it just, it wouldn't sell like it had, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. So there's so much negativity. These distributors are just getting kicked around by the retailers, and they're in turn beating up the labels, and it was just an ugly, ugly game. And it kind of got to the point where I just realized, like, this doesn't really have anything to do with music anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Corey and I had been into vinyl and into jazz and funk and soul and all these other genres that I wasn't even working with, you know, professionally. And I think it hit me one day when I was over at the Fetus and just watching, standing in the middle of the store and watching people shop for vinyl and watching people shop for CDs. And noticing how different people shop for those things.
Mm.
like the way you physically flip through the bins, it's completely different. People will go into the Fetus and they'll flip through every record in those bins just to see, hey, this looks cool, and they'll grab it.
If it's on vinyl.
Right, yeah. But CDs, it's like, all right, I'm interested in this artist or this release. And you kind of go, and you zone in, and you kind of get what you're looking for. And I kind of realized, well, if we can put together some really quirky compilations with good design and good music on them and really fun ideas, people are going to flip through and find them, and people consume vinyl differently, I guess. So that was kind of when I was like, you know, we should get into that business. That mm-hmm. I think that business is accepting of weirder, funner, quirkier ideas.
Yeah.
And if you do that stuff on CD, they can't merchandise it. And even if you had a buyer at a really hip retailer who just really genuine likes the idea, even if they try to merchandise it, it won't sell through. It'll get lost in the various artist bins, and it just can't survive. What we do couldn't survive in the CD world.
I think you're onto something, Eric. I read not too long ago that LP sales have now eclipsed CD sales, that in terms of, I don't know if it's number of units or you know, total dollar value, but people are buying lots more vinyl than they are CDs.
People are buying a lot of vinyl. There's a lot of different, you know, numbers and stats out there, and I'm not exactly familiar where with that one came from, but what I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that CDs are declining in sales every day,
mm-hmm.
every single day, and vinyl sales are going up.
So what was the first Secret Stash album?
That would be Porno Groove, the sound of 70s adult films.
Oh, my.
On pink vinyl.
On pink vinyl.
And we were a little scared. I mean, it's not. We funded the whole thing out of our pocket. We didn't get any investors or anything. And it was the first vinyl release I'd ever worked. We decided to, we made a conscious effort to stay away from any big distributors and exclusive distribution agreements. I've just seen them hurt a lot of young and small labels, even big labels, to be honest. And it was a little scary, but we went for it and it worked out quite well. And
That's
it's still
great.
Selling. So,
well, let's take a break and listen to some music. I'm going to just kind of go into this, and then we'll talk about it afterwards, because it's one of your current projects that I think folks are really going to be fired up about. But let's just say that this song is called Walkin', and our guests this morning are Secret Stash Records, Eric Foss and Corey Wong. And here's some music from Peru. 15 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is The Rock House.
I'm
Well, that's a group called Black Sugar, and the tune is called Walkin'. And this is going to be coming out on a album called Peruvian Funk on the Secret Stash record label. My guests this morning are Justin Salinas from Hot Pants. They'll be playing at the Bedlam Theater on Saturday night, their monthly dance record party. Records start at 10 o'clock, but I also have Corey Wong and Eric Foss from Secret Stash Records in the studio with me this morning. Guys, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Black Sugar.
Yeah.
Peru.
Yeah, one day while we were down in Peru, we went down in April.
One day while I was in Peru.
Yeah, I guess. Back it up a minute.
Wait a minute.
One day, Corey and I and our friend Unai, who's bilingual, so he kind of acted as an interpreter.
Yeah.
We went down to Peru in mid-April, and we went kind of with two missions. One was to record some Afro-Peruvian music, which I think we have queued up to share with you next. But we also went down there to try to find some stuff to put together for compilations to license up here. And everywhere we went, and we started asking people for funk music, you know, do you have any Peruvian funk?
Uh-huh.
They were just like, no, it doesn't exist. They kind of laughed at us. And
do they call it funk?
No,
music
a lot of
there?
People had asked us, like, what is funk?
Mm-hmm.
James Brown? They're like, oh, no.
None of that here.
You just got to keep asking and keep bugging people, and eventually, pretty much like you said, they have funk, but they don't know it's funk. They're kind of just considering it like a jazz rock fusion, I think, more than anything, and they hadn't.
They don't really have a specific genre indicator that, you know, it's just some cool thing that
totally.
They do.
Totally. So one day, Unai and I got to go digging down in Peru.
So were you in Lima or outside?
We were in Lima,
okay.
Yep. And we met a record label, YEMSA was the name of the label. And one of the sales managers offered to take us shopping for vinyl, but it was like in a really, really nasty part of town. When we told him we wanted to buy records, he was like, well, I know one place you can go. Again, this is all in Spanish, so it's all like gibberish to me. You know, I'm just kind of nodding and smiling. You know, there is one place you can go, but you guys really can't go there. We had all these video cameras and expensive equipment with us. And he's like, he finally said, all right, I'll take you there, but you got to leave all this back here because it's a really dangerous part of town. So he took us down there. And Unai and I spent about 3 hours digging through crates of wax down there. And we got some funk and some chicha, which is the Peruvian cumbia.
Sure.
And a bunch of old Afro-Peruvian records. So we came home with a nice stack of records. And some of that funk is from that day. So it's there. They just aren't calling it funk. So who knows what else is there that we haven't found, you know?
So this group that we just listened to, Black Sugar, just in terms of time frame, when was this recorded and where is Black Sugar now? Did you talk to them? I mean, how does this process of getting stuff from Peru up here?
Right, that's a great question.
Minnesota label.
Unfortunately, We haven't spoken to the band, which I think would be fun. But it all just functions going through the guys that own the masters and going through the record labels. As far as where Black Sugar is today, I've heard that they broke up many, many years ago. That's all like mid-70s stuff.
This is just fantastic.
I mean, the whole CD.
A revelation.
Whole CD you have there is pretty awesome. There's some really killer stuff on there. Mm. So, yeah, again, it would be fun to be able to talk to the bands, but, you know, the labels don't know where they are. They don't, you know. There's no real connection there, unfortunately.
That's really neat. So did you have any feeling for when you were down there, Eric, of what the influences were? If they didn't have James Brown as like something that they immediately grabbed onto, how did this evolve in Peru as a sound? South America.
Well, they have a lot of that music down there.
Yeah.
I mean,
somebody
they
had
just
it
didn't
brought it.
They just didn't think that anybody down there was doing that.
Sure.
Right.
But
yeah, like they knew who James Brown was. That's why I was like, James Brown, like, oh, no, you're not going to find any Peruvian
music. We don't have
James
Brown
like
here.
Like,
that's awesome.
So like James Brown and I'm sure like even stuff like Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, bigger poppy or stuff had made its way down there. No one could just recall any Peruvian bands that were recording that stuff. So I think the American influence is definitely there. But obviously when you listen to it, there's this really, really heavy Latin influence.
Right.
It's kind of a cool fusion.
Fantastic. Well, let's listen to another one. So this is coming. So I imagine that Peruvian Funk is going to be one record that you'll be releasing. Is that right?
Yep. And that'll be on Wax, like everything else we do. The next one is from the stuff that Corey recorded down there. We were down there for a week.
Okay.
And we recorded over 50 tracks.
Wow, productive.
Something like that, yeah.
Good job.
And it was crazy. Like, we went down there without any meetings set up, basically networked while we were down there, and had, like, a portable recording studio, a couple of bags on rollers, although some of the bags that weren't on rollers should have been.
Yes.
And just, like, a bag full of mics, and we crisscrossed Lima, and we recorded in schools, auditoriums, on the stoop of the hostel that we stayed in, in some guy's house. We just in a couple people's houses. I suppose you did Andres, and we did Larry and Alberto in their house, and it was pretty intense. So that'll be a separate release that we still haven't named and finished. We also videotaped the whole thing in HD, so there'll be a DVD component as well. But that'll be on CD and DVD. We'll probably do a limited vinyl pressing, but new releases of world music seem to lend themselves to CD a little more than vinyl. So we're going to have to put our foot in that pool.
Well, let's give this a listen. So this is new music, just recorded this last April in Lima. Sofia is the name of the artist. Is that right?
Yeah.
And it's El Mayoral?
Correct.
Okay. Secret Stash in the house with Afro-Peruvian music. Check it out.
Siento en mi pecho cuando está de madrugar. Qué dolor siento en mi pecho cuando está de madrugar. El mayoral con su retorno nos deja descansar. El mayoral con su retorno nos deja descansar. A las 4 de la mañana cuando el sol se va a ocultar. A las 4 de la mañana cuando el sol se va a ocultar. El mayoral con su retorno nos deja descansar. El mayoral con su retorno nos deja descansar.
Afina tu lámpara, José. Afina
saca tu machete, Cipriano. Afina tu lampa, José.
Afina tu
Programming on KFAI is sponsored by Khyber Pass Cafe, a locally owned family restaurant serving authentic food from Afghanistan since 1986. Khyber Pass Cafe prepares food according to old family recipes using all natural ingredients. They offer a lunch buffet and an eclectic selection of wines paired with their new wine bar menu. Khyber Pass Cafe is located across from McAllister College at the intersection of Grand and Snelling in St. Paul. More information is available on their website, khyberpasscafe.com.
Toutes les deux semaines, retrouvez-moi sur les www.kfai.org pour une émission avec la Terre-Mère Africa. Au menu, rumba, salsa, mbala, ndombolo, zouglou, coupé décalé, enfin, de la bonne et vraie musique. Émission réalisée, produite et présentée par Kwame Dara. Jukebox Africa is one hour web program featuring music, culture and interview of artists from Africa. The show are present in French and serve the African French community around the world. Look for a new program every other Thursday on KFAI.org.
And this is KFAI, The Rock House. We're here every Thursday morning from 6 until 9. 29 minutes this side of 9 o'clock. I'm Sarah Oxton. My guests in the studio this morning, Corey Wong and Eric Foss in from Secret Stash Records, along with DJ Justin Salinas from Hot Pants. Hot Pants at the Bedlam on Saturday night, 10 o'clock. And Secret Stash, just back from Peru and recording Sophia. She's fabulous. I like
She's
her a
incredible.
Lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
El Mayoral, so just tell me how you met Sophia. First tell me why you went to Peru. I mean, what made Peru pop up on the map for you as a destination and perhaps a fertile place to go and get music?
Well, I studied with a guitar player, Andres Prado, at McNally Smith. He's from Lima, and he's back down there now. And I had been in contact with him, and he introduced me to a bunch of different styles of Peruvian music. Afro-Peruvian music, Peruvian folk music, and I was really interested in it. And then when Eric and I were talking about what should our next project be, this stuff came up. We started looking more and more, and it was just like, you know what? Let's go down there and let's find it. Let's make a video about this type of music. Let's make a film about it. So we've been working on that, just about the music, that culture.
Yeah,
the different rhythms there, and record a bunch of music while we're down there. We went to this place called the Jazz Zone, which is a club in Lima. And we saw this group, and Sophia was singing, and it was actually a group, all the people in the group live in the U.S. now. There's a guitar player, Eric Karimski, he's a guy from New York, but he has been down to Lima like 20 times or something, he said, over the last 8 years, and he's just dedicated his life to Afro-Peruvian music. He's just an incredible musician.
And he didn't even speak Spanish. I asked him. He didn't even speak Spanish before he started learning it.
Yeah.
He's fluent now. He goes down there and like
completely gets around by himself.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
So when we were listening to Sophia off mic, we were talking about how ubiquitous music is, like people who are, you know, in our book, musicians down there, that's just how they live their lives. I mean, music is just part of what people do day in and day out. Can you talk about that a little bit more, how you saw people just participating in a musical culture down there?
I think people just I think up here we just take it much more for granted. And down there, it's just the people that play music is just who they are.
Right.
It's just ingrained in the culture and kind of passed down. But to say passed down makes it sound like a big deal. Like, oh, my father is passing this down to me. Like it was some sort of a big deal. It's just like you just soak it up.
Yeah.
We heard an awesome story about some guys from the U.S. That actually played with Andres that went down there, and they were jamming with these guys at a club. And one of the guys said, "All right, everybody switch." And the bass player said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, let's switch instruments. Let me play the bass and you can play the cajon."
Right.
He said, "Well, I'm not a drummer." He said, "What are you talking about? Just sit down and play it. Like, it's not that big. It's a box. Just hit it, dude."
Just hit it.
You know, like, it's not that big a deal. Like, so it's culturally, it's so much different. One day, our first full day down there, we went into this little cafe and we started talking to the owner of the cafe, who like lives off the back of the building. He had like come out. He looked like he had just woken up from a nap or something.
Yeah.
He'd come walking out, and Unai starts talking to him and said, "Hey, you know, we're from the United States of America, Minnesota." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I know what Minnesota is." And he says, what brings you down?" He said, "Well, we're recording Afro-Peruvian music, and Corey here plays Afro-Peruvian music." And he's like, "What? You know, this white kid from Minnesota is playing Afro-Peruvian music? I'd like to see that." So he pulls this guitar off the wall that we were convinced was just there for decoration.
Yeah, it looked like 200 years old. The strings on it were probably from the 50s.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And he pulls it off the wall and puts it in Corey's hands, and he's like, "Play.
Show me what you got."
Yeah, festejo, festejo. So yeah. Corey starts playing a festejo, and the guy's like, "What?" So all of a sudden, the guy starts singing along, and all of a sudden, the guy just pulls out a cajon out of nowhere. Again, he doesn't consider himself a musician by any standard, but there just happened to be a cajon in the room, and he just starts pounding on it and playing along with Corey, and he starts singing, and then they go into a Cuban son, I believe is how you would pronounce it, and the whole restaurant starts singing along, and everyone's pounding on the tables, and they're hitting stuff as if it's drunk. And we actually have all of it on video, and you can see it on YouTube. It's we have like a truncated version of it on YouTube. Same with like the record digging story I was telling. That's also on YouTube. So if any of this sounds remotely interesting.
So could people go onto YouTube and enter Secret Stash and just start looking at some of your stuff?
Secret Stash Records.
Yeah,
YouTube.com/Secret Stash Records.
So if you're interested, go check it out. And if not, you know, don't, I guess.
And then as far as your other releases, your website is secrets-records.com, is
correct?
That right?
Yep. And we're on Facebook and Twitter. Just,
that's,
you know,
great.
You can just search and you'll find us. We're pretty easy to find. So.
Well, let's talk about another project that's just out in the last couple of weeks. Cool stuff, as far as I can tell, just by holding the record, Gospel Funk. So we go from Peru to the church now.
Yeah.
Guys, you're kind of all over the place here.
Yeah.
Talk about this project a little bit.
That stuff comes from a catalog I used to manage when I was consulting other labels. And I had actually cut a deal with the guy who owns that stuff a couple of years ago to put this out.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got around to it. And now we got around to it. We got it all remastered. Corey and Unai actually did the remastering, which... I almost wish you could hear the stuff before they remastered it, because they did a great job.
It was a painful process just to get the master tapes, get them all into our recording rig, and just, kind of remanufacture the sound. Some of the sound on there was just terrible.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a lot to deal with, and there's a ton of different pops and clicks and just weird noises. And
the organs, dude, the organs just like slaughtered some of those recordings. Like,
yeah,
but anyways, I've long been into black gospel from the 60s and 70s, and you know, all you have to do is read a little bit, just read a book. You don't even have to read, just listen, and you can hear how important that music is to just about every other
absolutely
type of music that exists in this country. And the cool thing about the gospel funk stuff is, like, you know, gospel basically led into soul, and then soul kind of morphed into funk, and then the gospel guys were like, hey, we can do that too. Like, it's like the same progression for us. So all of a sudden they're like, the secular guys were influenced by the religious guys, and then the religious guys were in turn influenced by what the secular guys had done with their stuff. So the whole idea of gospel funk to me is fascinating, and some of these cats can really play.
Cool. Well, let's give this a spin. This is off of the Secret Stash release, Gospel Funk, recordings that come to us from the House of Beauty record catalog. Mm-hmm. And I love this title, guys. I really do. So it's the Swan Silvertones. If you think your God is dead, try mine.
Yeah, Justin was saying that he had a friend that found a stack of them. Where was that?
Ben Carey, the guy started Hot Pants from New York. We put it on our first compilation CD for Hot Pants. He was in St. Louis, I believe, and he said he found a stack at the thrift store, and he just bought one. And like, he kept telling me this story about how, man, I should have bought them all. Because after we put it on that CD, I was like, man, this is such a great track. So this is good for him. That record's probably going to go up after this gets around.
That's awesome.
Check it out. Swan Silvertones here on The Rock House. 20 minutes this side of 9 o'clock.
Try mine, he's still alive. I'm Al McFarland, editor of Inside News.
I'm Neil, and publisher at Asian American Press.
We represent the Minnesota Multicultural Media Consortium. We invite you to get ready for a technological future.
With our partners, the University of Minnesota Urban Research and Outreach Engagement Center and Office of Business and Community Economic Development, we are bringing broadband internet access and training to Minnesota urban communities.
We have created a network of 11 public computer centers that offer training on using broadband. For information, you can visit www.uroc.umn.edu/broadband or call 612-624-6158.
This public service announcement was prepared under Award 2742B10003 from the ARRA Broadband Technology Opportunities Program. The information presented does not reflect the views of the U.S. Department of Commerce.
Programming is sponsored by UCARE, proud to be sponsoring the Twin Cities Juneteenth celebration, Saturday, June 19th at North Mississippi Regional Park. More information available at JuneteenthMinnesota.org. UCARE, working for more than 25 years to improve the health of its members through innovative services and partnerships across communities. Online at ucare.org.
And this is The Rock House on Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI. 16 minutes this side of 9 o'clock. Be sure and stay tuned for the Dakota Dave Hall Show coming your way after the BBC News at the top of the hour. That last song coming to us from the Swan Silvertones, If You Think Your God Is Dead, Try Mine. And you can get that song on the brand new Secret Stash album, Gospel Funk. And my guests this morning are Corey Wong and Eric Foss from Secret Stash Records. And this is brand new on the streets, this album.
Yeah, Gospel that just Funk. Came out, yep.
Just in the last couple weeks, right?
Yep.
I saw that on your website. So if people wanted to get a hold of Secret Stash Records, where would they go? Are you finer independent record stores or online?
Yeah, I mean,
through
your
website.
Well, in town, just about everywhere.
Really? That's great.
Jaime's, Treehouse, The Fetus, Cheapo, Sugar Records over in Northeast, which is a little bit of a newer shop, but
it's right on 13th. Go in. It's good stuff.
If you ever get a chance, go in there.
Yeah.
The guys that run it are super cool, super friendly. And what I've been telling people I really like about them is they will, you don't even have to bug them too hard. They'll say, oh, by the way, you should check out this album. And, you know, most people, you don't get that everywhere you go. Like,
right. There's
usually just one or two guys in there. And they'll recommend stuff that you check out. And as they get a feel for your taste, they'll say, oh, yeah, I know you like this. Maybe you should check this out.
Yeah, it's not right on the corner, but it's 13th and 2nd. And it's on the northwest corner of that intersection, but a little bit down 13th. Good record store. You're absolutely right, Eric. It's a good place.
And then, I mean, aside from that, if you're listening wherever else, pretty much any good independent shop that is on, we work with like 16 distributors. So it's very widespread, and it's actually international distribution. Online, Dusty Groove carries everything.
Oh, sure.
Amazon, and then you can always just hit up secret-records.com. Everything's available there as well.
And you're headquartered in New Hope.
We just moved, and we're on Lindale and Lake now. So
far out.
Just a hop, skip, and a jump from here. So.
Huh. Well, Corey and Eric, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Really, happy to see a vibrant record label happening in the Twin Cities with such cool stuff.
Thank you very much.
That's really, really neat. So let's listen to another track from the Afro-Peruvian Sessions. Corey, you want to set this up and tell us who Andres Prado is?
Yeah, he's a good friend and mentor, kind of my sensei, my guitar sensei.
Yeah?
He's taught me, I would consider, most of what I know, and helped me develop a lot of my philosophical ideas about music. He's a very deep person and a very, very talented musician. He's just an amazing guitar player. And this is a solo guitar recording of him playing one of his tunes called Chincha.
All right, let's check it out. And this will be coming out on Secret Stash sometime in the near future. check out secretstashrecords.com. Check out their stuff on YouTube. Sounds like some pretty cool video from Peru. And let's listen to Andres Prado.
Thank you. I'm hurting. Pensando en ti, veces lloro tanto, mi vida no sé qué hacer. Tengo el alma toda herida sin tu querer. Y unas copas que me tomo para calmar mi dolor. Necesito de querer la dulzura de tu amor. Tengo una semana, mi vida de no vivir. Llevo siete días mi vida pensando en ti. Llevo siete noches mi vida de no dormir. Mi vida pensando en ti. Veces lloro tanto, mi vida no sé qué hacer. Tengo el alma toda herida sin tu querer. Y unas copas que me tomo para calmar mi dolor. Necesito de querer la dulzura de tu amor. Tengo una semana, mi vida de no vivir. Pensando en ti.
catch me when I'm staring at you.
Well, we close out this morning's edition of The Rock House with a couple of cuts from the Hot Pants bag. Justin, you got to tell us about those songs.
That one right there was Joe Jama, My Life. That is one of his classic tracks. And before that, that was another one from him. That's Siete Días, 7 days. And I'm still working on trying to find that. That's my next record. So I'm trying to...
Your next ramen record.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out where that's hiding.
Far out. Hot Pants, Saturday night at the Bedlam. Music starts at 10 o'clock. We'll see you all there. It'll be kind of the informal Rock the Garden after party, 10 o'clock till close. I'm Sarah Oxton. Stay tuned for the BBC coming your way. We'll be back next Thursday edition with another edition of The Rock House. Stay tuned.
BBC News with Marion Marshall. Israel has announced an easing of its 3-year blockade of Gaza. A brief statement said the system by which civilian goods were allowed in would be liberalized. It promises to expand the import of material for civilian projects under international supervision. Apparently a reference to building materials, which Israel blocked, on the grounds that they could be used for military purposes. From Jerusalem, Tim Franks.
For the last 3 years since the Islamist Hamas movement took power in Gaza, the border closures have been heavily tightened. The key now will be just how far and how fast these measures take place. The fact that it took Israel's Security Cabinet a second day of deliberations to produce this statement suggests there's still skepticism among some senior ministers about the wisdom of easing the blockade, which Israel has insisted has been to maintain its security against attacks from Palestinian militants, but which has been widely criticized around the world.
Hamas has dismissed the Israeli decision to ease the blockade on Gaza. A senior Hamas official said it was a ploy to distract from growing international criticism after Israeli commandos attacked ships bound for Gaza, leading to the death of 9 activists. A Palestinian MP, Mustafa Barghouti, said the blockade was illegal under international law and should be lifted completely.